Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Yes?
I'm going to call Gary Baumgarten really quick. Hope you never return my message.
503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Rick, pleased to be telling Sarah, genetically grown chickens is an urban legend. There are variations of this urban legend that include eight-legged chickens and the quad-breasted chicken. That's like Ula
and Kalupa. I just heard like headless and beakless and footless.
That's the...
Hey, Gary, it's Sarah Dillon from
the Rick Emerson Show. Let's listen in, shall we?
Oh, that sounds fabulous. I didn't know if you'd heard back or not. Okay, well, we'll talk to you in like 20 minutes. Okay, bye.
All right.
That was awkward.
There you go. No, I
thanks,
thought...
Scotty.
Yeah, Scotty, in your face.
I guess
jerk.
Gary had already called back and said he was coming.
Stupid. What were you talking about? Beakless and footless? Footless is the...
They were footless and beakless and headless. Oh, my.
Footless is the... Never mind. I was just going to say that's... I was going to say that Footless is the, you know, the exciting new Kevin Bacon movie where he's just a guy with a cane. Blah, blah, blah. Footless. Anyway, he says there are variations that include the quad-breasted chicken. Like Ulan Kulufich, the triple-breasted whore of and six. Of course, they still grow the chickens in a vet and grind their beaks down. Not that it matters. Not that it matters, says Aaron. Who wants to eat the beak? Well, that is a fair point, Aaron. Indeed.
That's true. Everything they take off. I don't want the head.
Who wants to eat the beak? Eating the beak is like eating the worm. Rick, what about the Clyde Lewis doll? Will it slur? Will it rant to go on for hours and hours and hours? Please tell us what the Clyde Lewis doll would do. I don't know. We'll talk about it on Monday. Rick, Lisa Goddard looks exactly like Jennifer Grey used to look. You know it's to be true. Oh, Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing? Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
I could kind of see that. I could. Like, if she had the longer... If Jennifer Grey had, like, a sort of a longer, like, contemporary hairstyle, it would look exactly like that. Well spotted, sir. Let's see. What else do we have here? Something about... more things about the about badge bunnies and whatever. All right. It's 503-733-2970. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to hand you this, Sarah. We're going to play this right now. And then we will probably break. We got Jim Roop coming up, I think, at some point. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have more from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. We will today, without fail, do the Wake Up with Whoopi thing. And then Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be here later on. Also, today we have the front row and backstage passes for Tim Conway, Harvey Korman. They're going to be this Friday. This Friday at the Schnitzer for the farewell tour. That is coming up this Friday. Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. So we'll be giving that away as well. Plus, I've got news that hurts. And we'll try to get to that later on. And I got a little bit of, it's not a whole lot, but it's a little bit of breaking news about the Britney Spears sex tape. And by the way, it is worth noting that at no point has her camp flatly denied that the tape exists, which is how you know, which is, I'm not saying that he does have it, but I'm saying, I don't know that he has the sex tape, but here's the thing, is that they haven't just come out and said, no, it's not true, which you know that they would do. I mean, they would probably come out and just flatly, like, if she, which means that at some point it did exist or one was there.
Well, has it just been dismissed now? Because all the blogs that I've been looking at today, I have not seen anything made mention of the sex tape. It's, like, disappeared.
That's because it was yesterday's news, though, for the blogs. Well, let's look, because I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong about this, and I don't think I am. I'm pretty sure that CBS News... .com, that's track 3 on there, was actually talking about the Britney Spears sex tape today. Hold on. Britney sex. This is exactly the sort of keywords you want HR to see. Britney sex tape. I'm pretty sure that CBS News was actually reporting today. Let's see, here we go. Kevin, see, now the price has gone up. Kevin Federline offers, this is from, some other site. Let's see. God, there's 151 articles about it in Google News. Guess how much he's asking for now for the sex tape, according to whatever this British site.
Oh, God.
$65 million.
What? Oh, I almost swore.
65. Look, here we go. CBS News. Okay, this is from CBS News / the Associated Press. This is no longer... Now, this isn't just a crap that we're making up or something we saw on a blog somewhere. This is from CBS News. Look at that. That's a great picture of her. Look at that. She looks fine there. That's a great... He, of course, looks like a douche. Britney Spears from CBS News. Now, you probably heard from a lot. You've heard most of this already. Britney Spears and Kevin Federline made a four-hour sex tape in their marriage, and he's now threatening to sell unless she gives into his demands in the divorce case. Blah, 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 blah. If the tape does exist, I don't think it will be damaging for Britney, says some guy.
She's just got to deal with the fact that it's going to come out and stop fighting it.
Because
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You get disproportionately angry about
because
this.
Because Kevin Federline doesn't deserve anything.
No, he really doesn't.
And he's sitting here saying first of all, he's spawned four children, two of which you never see him with. He never fought for custody of them. Now, just because of dollar signs, he wants his other kids.
Yeah.
It just sickens me.
No,
he's a disgusting human being.
No, he really is. And this is what I was telling Lisa Goddard earlier today, that I really do believe that the camera doesn't lie. And you look... Oh, thank you. Really? Really? We'll read this in just a second.
Is that about the concert?
See, why can't you pretend that I have breaking news?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why? No, it's too bad. You've killed my buzz.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
You know what it is that you are always half a step ahead of me in terms of gossip. Well, let's just roll the Britney Watch theme. We'll do the Britney Watch, and then we'll play the creepiest song ever. And then we'll have Jim Roop join us here. I think this is probably Jim Roop. It is like a balloon just going all soft at the end there. All right. Is this Scotty J? Is this Jim Roop? All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the City of Angels, the city of Los Angeles, where he is now, in L.A. Jim Roop, in Los Angeles.
Oh, sorry.
Hello. Jim Roop joining us now. Hello, sir.
That's why I pushed my own button.
Good God almighty. There's too much happening.
I was distracted by a documentary about dogs in still left in New Orleans.
Oh, I know. I sent that to... I forwarded that to Tim.
Okay.
So we have to talk about it. Hey, how you doing, brother? What's up in your world there?
Well, not much. Just finished up a news conference with the activist group Cop Watch, calling for the release of William Cardenas, brutally beaten by LAPD officers.
Is this the guy we were talking about last week?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the guy that was trying to reach for the cop's gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw that guy. You give me their number, I'll call them up, and I'll tell them that the official word is screw that guy.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, we got a little disconnect earlier, so I'm sorry we were not able to take your call when you called her. We were running a little late here. Well, you're just in time to hear breaking news about Britney Spears, Jim Roop.
And what would that be?
Well, see, first of all, you've heard all about this sex tape now, I'm sure, because you have a penis, and so I'm sure you've heard all about it. where he's now apparently asking for, and this is from CBS News, no longer from a blog, from CBS News, $65 million. Oh no, this is wrong. Okay, he wasn't asking it. He's been offered now, allegedly, $65 million.
Well, remember, I told you he was offered a huge settlement, and as long as he promised not to talk for 20 years.
Right, right, right. So it says here that Kevin Federline has reportedly been offered 65. Let me ask you this. We'll just speak honestly as men here. Because I'm just going to say right here, I'm not ashamed to admit this. Now, I don't wish for it. I mean, you know, it's all sad and terrible that this tape is out there and that Britney Spears, you know, she might have her virginal reputation ruined and so forth. I'm just saying, I would pay to watch it. I really would. The fact that he's in it is a little bit of a buzzkill for me because he does seem like a slimy and hideous man on every level. But I will not pretend to be holier than thou. I would pay to watch the Britney Spears sex tape. I really would. And maybe that makes me sound lecherous or hideous or whatever. But anyway, what are you going to do? He's got to be honest. I would. There's a lot of actresses you hear about like, well, so-and-so has a sex tape. And you don't really care one way or the other. The Britney Spears sex tape, I would absolutely pay for. I'd pay to watch that.
There's something there, yep.
No, I mean, that's the thing is they'll make money. I mean, there's a lot of actresses, even attractive, you know, whatever. Pick an attractive actress, Kate Hudson. Well, whatever. You know, here's a Kate Hudson sex tape. You know, it's $19. Pass. You know, what am I going to see? I haven't seen before. Britney Spears, though, it is because I think of her iconic status. It really is.
Could well be. And have you seen her move on stage?
I have. She actually came to town a couple years ago, and they were doing a big news story about it. There was a guy like in the arena going, "We're here at the Britney Spears concert," and they cut to her on stage. And really, it was like she'd spent a year at stripper camp.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. This is the brand new one. This is from contactmusic.com. Kevin Federline launched, boy, you know, you hate that guy, launched a bitter attack on his estranged wife, Britney Spears, during a concert on Sunday. I'm unaware that he was still finding people who would willingly come and experience his music. Launched a bitter attack on his estranged wife, Britney Spears, during a concert on Sunday by screaming out, I'm quoting now, by screaming out, F Britney, and then giving the finger. The rapper was playing at the Norva in Virginia when he made the foul-mouthed gesture, according to the British Daily Star. Britney wasn't in the crowd, but the public outburst is sure to leave the pop princess fuming. Spears filed for divorce last week. Federline filed a response, also seeking sole custody of the kids. Boy, you want to talk about a guy that had very, very, very few people in his corner to begin with and is now just making it his goal to alienate everybody on earth that might possibly have been undecided about the divorce between him and Britney, man.
Well, look, not only that, but you think a judge, after seeing something like that or hearing something like that, is going to say, yeah, you can have the kids.
Yeah, you seem like a real fit father.
Good father.
Well,
yeah.
He really, I mean, look.
You know, it's not about the kids. No, he doesn't care.
That's totally the thing, is he does seem like that guy, that he looks at those kids, because it's worth noting that, to the best of our knowledge, he never, ever fought for custody for the two kids that he had with Shar Jackson. So that he just looks at those kids and sees a paycheck. I mean, that's absolutely the deal with that guy. So, anyway. Well, good job.
That's Kevin.
Yeah, what are you going to do? So we got this here. So this is actually the thing we were theoretically going to talk to you about before the Britney thing started happening. So am I reading this wrong? Is he back to being called Cat Stevens now?
No, he's still Yousef Islam.
All right.
But that's what we know him as. And the only way he's going to sell CDs is if we say, that's Cat Stevens.
Oh, I see. So this is the artist formerly known as Cat Stevens.
Yeah. You know, back in, what, 79, whatever it was, he decided to drop out of the music business altogether.
Absolutely.
He said, you know, there's 101 reasons why I'm dropping out. Now he says there's 101 reasons why he needs to come back. And I'm thinking, money?
Yeah, seriously. Like somebody's Bentley needs a little work on. Now, because
he's not released an album in, what, 30 years?
Well, you know, the big thing is that he renounced and to his credit. Now, to his credit, up until now, the guy seemed to walk the talk. Cat Stevens, big pop star, and then he did what so many guys do, which is where he said, I leave the world of pop music because it is a world of sin, and I wish to be a man of God. And guys always say that. Guys in the hip-hop community especially do that. Guys like Mace or something, they'll renounce it all, they'll walk away to become a minister, and then they're back like a week and a half later. And this guy, I mean, he stayed out of the pop world for like 30 years, right?
And man, he took crap after crap, too. I mean, even when Tom Likas was out of here, he got a steamroller through all the Cat Stevens albums in the streets. And as a big stunt, mowed him over.
Rolled it with a boulder, with a steamroller. And that was because I'm just going to call him Cat Stevens. That's because he was in favor of the death penalty for Salman Rushdie, right? The fatwa or whatever?
Yeah.
So he's not.
He's taken a lot of crap for a lot of years about this.
I mean, have you ever interviewed him? I mean, is he, do you know anything about him? Is he a nutcase or is he, you know?
No, I just think he's one of those really committed kind of guys. You know, he stopped doing music because he said he found what he was looking for, something spiritual, and now he thinks, as screwed up as the world is, he needs to be singing songs about, you know, happiness and spirituality and stuff like that. So he's coming back with an album. Now I'm sure he's going to sound great because he has been working on this for a while.
Well, I would hope so.
Rehearsing.
Yeah,
he's got that unmistakable voice that. I mean, man, I can't wait to hear it.
Well, you got 3 decades. I mean, I would hope it would be good. I hope it wasn't just some crap he found in his basement last week and put together. It's a dumb question, though. I mean, he was a pop star, but I mean, that was 30 years ago, and record contracts are not always the most scrupulously put together thing. What's he been living on? He couldn't possibly have just made enough money to have lasted him 30 years.
No, I just think he's been living as like a monk kind of person, you know, as in whatever. He just lived, you know. He didn't want for extravagance. He didn't want for anything other than what he needed on a day-to-day basis to survive.
So he really has been doing. He's really been.
That's what I understand. Yeah, that's what we understand that he's been doing. And this is the first I've heard from him in I don't know how long. You know, and so good for him.
All right. Well, you know, I always admire a guy that kind of, you know, sort of walks the talk, that isn't just some guy that mouths a bunch of platitudes and then doesn't do it. So,
you know, people will buy this album. They'll buy it to hear how he sounds, especially, or they'll start downloading the music because it's available on Amazon.com now. At least the CD is. You can buy it in the U.K. or on Amazon. It's not available in the U.S. yet, I don't think.
I'll do that. Man, my mom, you know, back before he converted, my mom was a huge Cat Stevens fan. I remember just those records going all the time in my house when I was growing up. God, just had an amazing voice. Hey, as a side note, Sarah Dillon and I saw some pictures of Michael Jackson this morning. Here's a weird question. Why are his hands always stained with a bunch of brown crap?
I think that's the next question I'll ask him.
I mean, seriously, there's something wrong with Michael Jackson's hands. And it's
something
not the...
wrong with Michael Jackson, man.
I know, I mean, I know that this is not exactly breaking news. But we found this picture of her this morning. And it was actually... Sarah has this blog that she runs that's just nothing but bad pictures of celebrities. These were pictures of Michael Jackson that were actually so off-putting that she opted not to put them up, I think.
No, I finally posted them, but I couldn't write about it very long because I would have to look at
the picture. Has he gotten ashy?
Well, it's not that. Here's the thing. It's not the brown on his hands that you would expect from a person whose complexion was once that of a black man and is now a white man. It really is... How do I put this? It really is like he's covered with... What's that?
Like he's been staining furniture?
Yes, that's staining furniture. I was also going to say a man who perhaps was not taught proper methods of waste disposal and hygiene as a young child. That's what... No, come on. That's Sarah. Back me up. That's what it looks like. It looks like a guy who's just been to the loo and there was no roll to be found.
Well, you know, there was some speculation online that I guess...
Was
when
it
you
speculation
do...
by you?
No, okay. I read this. I didn't know this. But I guess from chemotherapy... It turns your nails brown. Oh, and he's been seen wearing a wig.
That's the other thing.
People are thinking he might have cancer.
That's the other thing. His nails are like M&M brown. It's all kinds of weird. So really, well, that would explain the wig, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That would explain the fact. Yeah, see, then I hope he doesn't have cancer because I don't feel bad. If he has cancer, I won't be able to joke about him. That's really the bad thing about cancer, is it removes my ability to make fun. And that really is the tragedy of cancer. The tragedy of cancer is how it affects...
That is the true tragedy.
Is how it affects me, Rick Emerson, and my ability to create humor for the people. Well, okay.
We count on that, Rick. We really do.
That's what I do. Hey, Will, it's been a whole lot of nothing. Hey, by the way, we're going to speak to your pal Gary Baumgarten here in a few minutes.
Oh, yeah?
He called me this morning. It was so great. I got a phone or a voicemail this morning and then an email from him. And he's, you know, Gary Baumgarten at Pal Talk or whatever. He's, hey, it's Gary Baumgarten. I'd love to come on and talk about Giuliani versus Hillary. Give me a call. So,
Gary Baumgarten.
That's a guy, man. That's a guy. He still wants to be, he feels the pull of the game, my friend. So,
man, please tell him I said hello, will you?
I will indeed. I will pass.
I really miss that guy.
I will pass along the greetings from you and your compatriots. So,
please.
All right, Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
There you go, Jim Roop in L.A., ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, we didn't get to the creepiest song in this segment. We'll break. Come back with Tim Riley. Tim Riley will do the. Well, that's we work out perfectly. Tim Riley will come back. Do a Ministry of Truth. And then we will play the creepiest song ever. And then, what the hell else? Well, some other things. And then Dennis is going to be here later. Oh, we got to do the Conway Corman tickets as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.
You want a shot, so I will take aim. Don't even ask me if I know your name.
Say my name.
Don't look so shy. Do not be
It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. In a few, we'll talk to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Dennis Pitzenberger is going to be up just a moment as well. And we'll play this creepiest song ever. And so forth. Ladies and gentlemen.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah.
Gone forever. He returns. Gary Baumgarten. How are you, sir?
I'm terrific, Rick Emerson. How are you?
I got to work on my new Gary Baumgarten from PalTalk.com.
That's it.
There you go. What is your title? News guy, director?
Yeah, news and programming director.
Look at you.
He's a head honcho.
The dual titles.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well, how's life, brother? How are things?
It's great. I'm having a ball. I'm running a little talk show on the internet every day from 5 to 6 p.m. New York time on paltalk.com. And not to draw people away from your station, but if people want to come in and join in the conversation, they're more than welcome to.
Yeah, right. Well, the Paltalk, that's the thing that's like you were saying, that's like Was it Opie and Anthony or somebody? They do a big thing with that.
Yeah,
it's
oh,
like,
yeah,
some,
they're on
it's like
here
a webcam
too, yep.
thing, yeah.
One of these days we're going to have Rick Emerson on here.
I'm at your disposal.
We're going to send you worldwide, buddy. Are you ready for it?
I am, my, you know, I am your tool to use as you wish, sir. I am at your...
But is the world ready for you?
Well, they will be.
Question.
after the popular revolution and uprising, the world will be prepared.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Well, I was just saying, by the way, Roop says hi. And,
my man.
Those guys, yeah, I mentioned that I was going to be talking to you today. It's the greatest thing. So we had talked to you a couple weeks ago when it was your last day at CNN, and I came in today, and I opened up my email program in the inbox. I think is a thing from Gary Baumgarten going to, you know, said, hey, I'd love to talk about the Giuliani-Hillary thing. And then you sent me the greatest article. Let me make sure that I've got it right here. I pulled this. Let's see. Here we go. This is from the New York Daily News, it says. New York Daily News, Hillary versus Giuliani. The race we've always dreamt of. And it says right here, this is a piece that the Daily News has run talking about, which is a thing that I had forgotten, that Hillary ran against or was going to run against Giuliani in, 2000, right?
Right, but he dropped out of the Senate race because of prostate cancer.
And so that was, and I mean, again, this is not that, you know, not to make light of it, it's a very serious situation, and, you know, he seems to have recovered from all that, but it was, but for political junkies, it was a real blow, because everybody, just in terms of sheer spectacle, in terms of sheer entertainment, everybody could, I mean, we could not wait to see Hillary versus Giuliani, because that would have just been a knockdown, drag-out, bare-knuckle brawl.
Right, but that was just for the U.S. Senate. Can you imagine if that happened in a race for the president?
Oh, I can't. See, that's the thing, is it's so great, it's so glorious, it's so wonderful, that I can't even imagine it. I really can't. It's like I try to process it, and it's like God creating a boulder so heavy he can't lift it.
I'll tell you one thing it might do. It might actually get people out to the polls.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was having dinner with somebody the other night. We were talking about, Hillary versus, not Giuliani, but Hillary versus McCain. And I said, can you imagine, of course, we've said this several times in the past and it hasn't worked, but I mean, a female candidate for president, especially one who is so divisive and just so disliked by so many people, you know that everybody would turn out, you know, everybody on the other side would turn out just to vote against her.
Right.
So,
they love her or they hate her. But that's the same way with the people in New York with regard to Giuliani. They either loved him or hated him. So, you know, there's no ambiguity with either of these two potential presidential candidates. So, you know, what you see is what you get, I think.
Now, so the question is, how likely is it that he's going to run? And if so, how likely do you suppose it is that he would end up being the candidate?
Well, he has formed an exploratory committee, which is why we're talking about this today. So he definitely wants to run for the presidency. The question is, will the Republicans allow him to be nominated as their candidate? He's strong on crime. You know, as a U.S. attorney, he successfully campaigned against organized crime. He's strong on homeland security. That's very obvious. Both of those are traditional Republican issues. But he's also pro-choice, he favors gay rights, he supports gun control, and those are not necessarily positions that are popular within his own party. So it's a question of whether the Republicans feel that they would accept a guy like that if they felt that he had a shot for the White House.
It does seem that McCain shares a lot of those positions, I think.
He has the same issue. Pataki, yeah. Who's a real dark horse, the governor of New York, he also shares those issues. I mean, there are a lot of moderate Republicans out there. They're not all right-wing fundamentalist conservatives.
And then Giuliani was also divorced when he was having an affair with somebody, or
right.
Was alleged to in any way, and so it's all... But, I mean, of course, Hillary Clinton... The thing is, Hillary Clinton is... She is his polar twin in so many ways because she comes with all of her own baggage, which we don't... I mean, the baggage is just... The baggage is being Hillary Clinton.
Right, it's enormous.
Yeah.
But name.
Oh, man, I can't...
You know, so it would just be a tremendous, and the pundits would just love it. There's no question. Whether the nation would be well served by a race that results in either one of them as the president, I don't know. I mean, that's something that people individually would have to ask themselves. And there are other people who are obviously going to be vying for the nominations of each of the parties, but this one would just be, as you indicated, a very spectacular race to cover. I know them both at CNN. I covered them both. The thing about Giuliani is, more so than Hillary, is that he will tell you what's on his mind. He doesn't care about the political consequences. He's extremely autocratic. Now, that serves him well in situations like 9/11, but he wasn't very much of a consensus builder. For example, he never received very much of the black vote, so he just didn't bother to meet with the black leaders of New York. He just said, "The heck with them.
Right.
They don't get people out to vote for me.
Well, you know,
I'm not going to pay any attention to them."
And Hillary Clinton has been equally blunt. Like when people asked her, they said when she was doing this Senate run, people said, "Well, are you going to run for president? You know, if we vote you in for Senate?" And she said, "Well, if that's a concern, you should factor that into your decision." I mean, she wouldn't even answer. She just kind of said, "Well, you know,
right.
if you're worried about it, don't vote for me."
She's far more political. What? She, you know, she's like her husband. She will wet her finger and see which way the wind is blowing. She will change her position on issues on occasion to meet the political climate because she believes, I think that she believes, as did her husband, that, you know, you got to get elected. You got to do what you got to do to get elected.
And I might be wrong about this number, but somebody told me that Hillary Clinton spent $29 million. I mean, she raised...
And she's got money left over from that Senate campaign that she's rolling over into the presidential campaign.
The whole thing just makes me excited. Really too excited for if I think about it anymore, I'm just going to begin vibrating.
Can you imagine the debates?
I can't. See, that's the thing is, I can't, and I almost don't want to let myself imagine it, because then if it doesn't happen, I'll just have to weep silently to myself.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you on that. I just love to see them debate each other. It just would be... marvelous.
Fantastic. Well, as this sort of unrolls, and as you know, anything comes across your transom news-wise, just let me know. We'll have you on any time, brother. You have carte blanche here on the Rick Emerson Show.
And you on Pal Talk.
All right. Well, you let me know. Drop me an email. Anything you want me to come on one of these days, I'll do it. So you just
cool.
Keep me in the loop, brother.
Thanks, man.
PalTalk.com News and Program Director Gary Baumgarten. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go. Gary Baumgarten, lady. And he's gone. And like that, he's gone. All right. Tim Riley. I need to get like a klaxon, sort of like a do the studio. We're running so late. We're doing the 1:30 news now, 1:45, because I'm retarded.
We don't usually have a 1:30 guest.
Yeah, that's true.
Do we?
No, not usually. I mean, it's just Gary was sort of you could tell, again, it's not like he doesn't have his hands full now, but you could tell he missed the game, as it were, as Nixon said. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, you know that mass abduction in Iraq today, Baghdad, where they kidnapped 150 people? Well, now they're blaming it on 5 senior police officers with their police department, including the neighborhood chief. They were arrested after gunmen dressed as police commandos kidnapped scores of staff and visitors at an education ministry office, the biggest mass abduction since the start of the U.S. Occupation. So they're in a lot of trouble.
Now, is this B, you said?
We're not going to the... We're going to go to B... in just a moment.
Okay,
but it's not with this story.
I'm just noting because B does not look like it's changed.
It does not look like it's changed.
It's still, well, let's see here.
It is simply acknowledging that English is the country of this language, and we want to adopt it for that purpose.
I wouldn't forget that.
I don't know why that happened.
It's okay. There's a huge pile of stuff to get to.
Meanwhile, a Bend area contractor allegedly tried to hire 2 people to kill a customer who didn't pay his bill. 44-year-old Jonathan Andrews arrested after a 2-week investigation. He said the customer owes $60,000. The customer said that he never finished the work. Andrews is charged with 2 counts of attempt to commit aggravated murder and solicitation to commit murder. He's being held in Crook County Jail on $200,000 bail. He earns Merchant Concrete. He also is wanted in Georgia for a probation violation relating to robbery there.
I always wonder about how it is you find... Not that I've thought about this. I have, but I'm just as a pure speculation. I've always wondered how it is that you find a guy who can rub somebody out. That's the thing that always happens. Like I was talking about Crimes and Misdemeanors, that Woody Allen film, where Martin Landau calls up his brother and says, "Jack, she needs to be gotten rid of." I always wonder where it is that you find a guy who can get rid of somebody. This is like an Office Space when they're having to look up money laundering in the dictionary. If I had to have somebody whacked tomorrow, I would have no idea how to do it. I would have no idea. I don't even think
you just have to do it yourself.
But see, I'd be bad at it. I would fumble it, and then I'd be that like that guy that idiot that killed Adrian Shelley a couple weeks ago, where he like left a big footprint, like an ID in a thing saying I did it. It's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, 2 former 1960s rock stars appear before a music-loving judge for a showdown over authorship of one of the decade's most iconic songs. The Organ Stains of Procol Harum's A Winter Shade of Pale.
The Organ Stains?
Yes. Sounded throughout the Court 56 of Britain's highest court as the band's former organ player, Matthew Fisher, sued ex-bandmate for a share of the copyright in a multi-million dollar selling song.
Organ player. Was it an upright organ?
I believe so, yes. Fisher's lawyer, Ian Perverse, said the song defined what it was sometimes called the Summer of Love in 1967. He said Fisher had composed the organ melody, and particularly the 8-bar Hammond organ solo, which gives the song its distinctive Baroque flavor.
That's a bunch of crap. The song's stolen from Johann Bach. Everybody knows that. Everybody, that's the first thing they teach you with, like, rock snob school, is that as you can say it knowingly, even though you don't really know what you're talking about. Even though there's a whole lot of bits of knowledge that rock snobs, like a bunch of high-fidelity dorks like myself, there's a little bits of information that rock snobs have that they couldn't really explain, and if you were to push on that knowledge even a little bit, it would collapse like a flan in a cupboard. But it's like when, well, blah, 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 wider shade of pale. And then you look and you kind of roll your eyes and you go, wider shade of pale is totally taken from Johann Sebastian Bach. Everybody knows that.
What's wrong with them?
No, I'm just saying, I guess it's true. I couldn't tell you anything more about it, but that's a thing you're required to say as a rock fan.
A court has upheld a Las Vegas city regulation barring erotic dancers from raunchy physical contact with customers, a ruling that runs counter to the gambling city's sinful reputation. The Nevada Supreme Court reversed two lower court rulings that found the regulation improperly curtailed expressive conduct protected by the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. The city rule bars dancers from physical contact of a sexual nature with customers. Voters in Seattle took a different view this week, rejecting a measure that would require exotic dancers to stay at least 4 feet from customers. First time they've had lap dancing there in quite some time.
Is this Tim entering a tunnel? It doesn't seem right that Vegas, of all places, would ban lap dancing. That does seem wrong.
The once Canoles and Ava Longoria playing lesbian lovers in a new movie. The gorgeous stars have revealed they are set to star in a sexy Victorian drama entitled Tipping the Velvet. Eva, one of the stars of the hit television series Desperate Housewives, says, yes, it's true. We've been talking about doing this movie together. It's a wonderful novel, a beautiful love story. Beyonce, who's 25, thinks it's time the world was treated to a classic lesbian love story.
I agree.
The singer, who was speaking at a New York benefit for ovarian cancer, said, we've had Brokeback Mountain.
Blick Black.
So the time has come for this divine novel to get the same treatment.
All right, but
from Ontario comes word, a variety of Hershey chocolate products and candy in Canada were voluntarily recalled because of fears of salmonella contamination at a factory. There's been no report of illness associated with the products. A Hershey brand chocolate bar, chocolate chips, O. Henry bars, Reese's peanut butter cups, and cherry blossom sweets among the affected products. Salmonella generally causes a non-fatal diarrhea-causing illness. Other symptoms include nausea, vomiting, abdominal cramps, fever, headache, and vomit.
It's not really like an O. Henry so much as like, oh, my sphincter.
There are about 2,500 types of salmonella, and I'm sure there's one for you.
And no two are exactly the same. It's magic.
An Australian driver threatened police with a live snake after he was pulled over for a breath test driving under the influence of alcohol. The driver of the Outback was stopped by the police just outside the city of Darwin after they saw him swerving. After registering a blood alcohol level above the legal limit, the man ran onto the road and picked up a live snake. The driver allegedly armed himself with a snake, pointing the head of the reptile at them and threatening the police. Police told the man to drop that snake, but he ran into the bushes, still carrying it. The man is being charged with drunken driving and will appear in Darwin's court.
Australia's not like us. All right, we should, while Tim's here, we should play this. Now, do you know the song we're about to play? This, the DOA by Blood Rock?
Oh, I've heard it before, yeah.
Did you play it as a jock when you were a DJ?
Yes.
See, that's the thing. It's like we were playing that Timothy, oh, we ate his thigh, or whatever that song was. It is hard to believe that there are songs like this that became hits. So this, let me give you a little background on this what we're about to play. We were talking of this all dates back to Halloween, when Clyde had created this top five. It was the top five creepiest songs ever. And of course, but he neglected to actually give us any of the songs. So I was then left to sort of assemble them. And it was like Timothy and like Wreck of the Evan Fitzgerald and like some other crap. And then this, though, was the one that I could not find. I couldn't ever find it. And so finally, a guy named Tom Spangler, who was a listener of ours, and he's one of those Craig Adams type guys that in his basement just hundreds and hundreds of reel-to-reel tapes. So this is a mini disc recording of a reel-to-reel that was, in turn, I believe, just recording the radio. And so I'm pretty sure that the very beginning of this, like the first half a second, is cut off, because I think it actually came off the radio. But this is a song that was a moderate hit for a Canadian band called Blood Rock. And the song is called DOA. And I was wrong in thinking that the song was about a car wreck. I guess it's about a plane crash. So this is
inexplicably enough, a song that was played on rock and roll stations sort of back in the day. So let's go if we can. Is this a. Okay, this is a DOA by Blood Rock. On rock stations in the 70s, and then they would always go out of this like into a jingle. Like, it would always, and now I'm dead, hit 95, and then it was like into a T-Rex song.
It's flowing out my body.
It just seems like
okay,
it's an hour long.
Stop
it's
it.
Almost over.
Flowing out with my blood. The sheets are red and moist. Where
worst song ever.
God in heaven, teach me how to die.
It's just horrible. Seriously, imagine if you were just sitting there at night at 2 a.m. alone in your room, just stoned out of your mind, staring at the radio. You'd never leave the house again. That's the best part. Teach me how to die. All right. Did I lie? Is that not the creepiest song ever?
Yeah, I'm flying next week. Can you freak me out?
We should play this every time someone on the show's about to fly.
And this was a video of teenagers listening to FM radio. Because before that, it was just beautiful music.
That's true. No, it's...
We built this Starbucks.
All right. And take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Dennis Pitsenbarger, he'll be here. He knows a lot of stuff. Then we'll give away some Corman tickets. Also, things.
Back after this, Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. We return momentarily.
Say you won't slow down. Rest at this place. Say you don't know how we grew to this kind of place. Knee deep in the mocha, making coffee right.